Man, it's so good to see each of you tonight. Thankful that you're here, and I have to say I am looking forward to our candlelight service on Sunday night. I think it's going to be really good. I enjoyed the singing tonight, and always enjoy the beautiful instruments playing, but it's also special to hear just the singing also. You harmonize really well together, I thought, and I think it sounded really good, and so I'm looking forward to that tonight, or on Sunday night, and just excited to be here. We're going to continue on in our study on the fruit of the Spirit. If you'd like to, you can be turning to actually 2 Samuel chapter number 22. 2 Samuel chapter number 22 tonight. We'll continue on, and we do have a short business meeting after the lesson tonight, so much to be in prayer about also. I don't know really any details or anything, but I think from what I understand, there was an accident in front of Antioch Church tonight a little while ago. Mom and Dad was stuck in traffic trying to come over. Wasn't sure if they was going to be able to make it or not. And from what I understand, it sounds like it was a vehicle versus pedestrian, but I don't really know any more details than that. It sounds very serious, but I don't know any really more than that. So let's be in prayer for them also. But I do want to say I appreciate all the cards and the gifts from Sunday. I appreciate that from everyone, and that's a blessing. It's fun to read all the cards, and still been doing my Advent each morning, and still put my little puzzles together, my peanut puzzles, enjoying doing that, and having a good time with it. And actually wrapped Brandy's presents today, so that got that knocked out this morning. I feel a lot better now. I don't know. It's funny what can kind of cause stress during the holiday season, and I was like, man, I got to get that done. So we got something under the tree now, so that's good. I'm excited about that. But, and, you know, I mentioned doing the Christmas Advent and what have you, and I've been listening to one I found on my Bible app, and it's been really good, and I think it really kind of goes along really well with our study, the fruit of the Spirit. It mentioned several of those things I found in being topical. And for me, you know, in doing topical studies and what have you, sometimes it seems like it's extra special, and sometimes maybe just kind of like maybe normal. But this one has been very special to me. I feel like I've gotten a lot from this, and different ones have mentioned that they've gotten a lot out of it also, and I'm thankful to hear that. And really, in the fruit of the Spirit, when you look at it that way, it's attributes that you and I are supposed to have, fruit you and I as Christians are supposed to have. And I'm finding some of these come with experience. It's not something that you can kind of just emulate or simulate. Some of this actually comes with life experience. And tonight you'll see that. Tonight's fruit is gentleness. And gentleness is a softness of manners. It's a mildness of temper, a sweetness of disposition, and it's a meekness. And I think sometimes when I've looked at it this way, thinking about preaching and some of those things, I think about John the Baptist, I think about Paul, and I think about Schubel Stearns and some of the people and later on in our Baptist history, that they are the ones that's blazing the path and kind of no nonsense. You know, Paul and Peter, just kind of no nonsense kind of folks and what have you. But also there's a lot to be said about the gentleness of the fruit of the Spirit and how that works. You know, there's one thing I've thought about in trying to deal with people or work with people, witness to people. It might be one thing to witness to an adult that's maybe experienced a lot of things in life, but maybe a little bit different in trying to witness to someone who is very young, maybe very tender-hearted, maybe a different approach. But in what you'll see here tonight, and just bits and pieces I want to pull out of this here, it's actually called the Song of David here in 2 Samuel, and I believe this is on down toward the end of David's life. I don't think this is something that he wrote as a shepherd out in the field when he was young, but I think this came with a lifelong experience. If you read back the few chapters heading up to this, and we know David faced a lot of things in his life, a lot of hardships, and a lot of those hardships were things that he brought upon himself. One of the things that you'll read just prior to chapter 22 and studying that out is that God's judgment or his discipline comes to everyone. Yes, I believe wholeheartedly in being his child, and there's a sweetness and a gentleness and a special relationships that to be had there, but also his discipline comes. He chastens his own, and chastening is not a good thing for the season, and it's just not. And you look back on David's life and a lot of the things that he had dealt with Bathsheba, the loss of his first son, and then you go through and you look at Absalom and the loss of his second son and kind of how that were there. And he even lamented over that, saying that he wished that it would have been him versus his son that had died. But you see the life that he had led and the life of running, and it was because of the sin that he had in his life. And God said, you'll have this to deal with all the days of your life and in your kingdom because of the sin that you've committed. And so it comes with a price. But you know, one of the things that's kind of interesting about this also, being that David is after God, or a man after God's own heart, that he had experienced enough with God that at the end, as he's come to the end of his life, one of the things that he could say about God, the Lord, was about his gentleness. And I thought that was nice. He starts out this song of praise here, if you will, and it starts out chapter 22. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, and the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." You know, he was running. He spent a lot of his time running. Had he been more obedient, his life probably would have been different. But he was chasing or being chased and dealing with things. And I want to say this right here to kind of set the tone of this. You know, last week we talked about long-suffering, and that has a lot to do with patience. And when you have patience in life and things are going real slow and what have you, or if you're being able to work with patience, gentleness kind of comes during that time. And what I mean by that is, if you're in a position where you're being very impatient or you're rushed, how gentle are you? How gentle are you? Best example I've got this week, and it's funny how things happen, but I was trying to blow some leaves out of the driveway and getting some stuff cleaned up there and get some stuff, and I had the little battery-powered blower, and I went out there with it, and it wasn't doing enough. It's great for stuff on the deck. Light work, it's great for that, but it wasn't doing what I needed it to do. And so what I did is I put it down and I went to go get my backpack blower that's a lot more powerful. But it wasn't right there easy for me to get, Brother Mike. It's kind of back in the back of the shed behind all the stuff. And I'm trying to get through it, and the door's knocking around, and I'm trying to pull it out and get it out, and it's banging around, and the door hits me, kind of knocks me over, and I hear a little in the background. Brandy's laughing at me because she knew I was getting flustered. She knew, and it's kind of funny. Josh even laughs about it, because when you get impatient, you're a whole lot less gentle with things. Would you not agree? You're just kind of slinging stuff around maybe and not as careful with things as you want to be. Everybody's smiling. You know what I'm talking about. That's good. I'm glad that you can associate with this, you know. But how often in life do you feel rushed? Just in day-to-day life, how often do you feel rushed? How often do you feel rushed in traffic? How often do you feel rushed trying to go to the grocery store? Walmart coming up on Saturday, whenever that is, we're talking about that. How often do you feel rushed? And so I think life is kind of like that, and we're feeling rushed a lot of the time, and that adds to anxiousness. And when you have those things, you're not really having a lot of gentleness. If you've got time to slow down and do things kind of at your own pace, and everybody has their own pace, everybody's pace is a little bit different, but if you have time to do it that way, I think you have a little bit of extra time to be a little bit more gentle with things and do things at a different pace and when you're not rushed. And I thought that was very interesting, because in long-suffering, it really deals a lot with being patient, and gentleness comes right along behind that. So you see here in David, when he's talking about this in his life, he's talking about a very stressful time that he came through, that the Lord brought him through. And it said, and he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, and he's my deliverer." You see, he had some experience with him that God has brought him through some very hard things that he had been dealing with. And now he's starting to see a different side of God, not just the disciplinary side, but the also the taken care of side, the provisional side that he's seeing. Verse number 18, and it says, "And he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me." He realized the life that he was living and what was going on, his enemies were well capable to take him out. When you read the Bible, and a lot of times you can read through quickly and you can see the outcome quickly, you kind of just take it for granted that this person knew all along that God was just going to deliver him. When he was facing all of these things, he didn't know how that delivery was going to take place. You look at different situations in the Bible. You look at Elijah and what he faced with the prophets of Baal and all of those things. When he was going through that, he was afraid for his life. He was basically, I should have just died and not faced all of this. Lord, why did you pull me through this to just let me die? But you see, the Lord brought him through. That fear, that hardship that they felt was very real to them in their life. It took time to get through these places. Verse 19, it says, "They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." Even during these hard things, the Lord was there. And through patience and through endurance, the Lord got him through this. And verse number 26, it says, "With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright, thou wilt show thyself upright." He's saying here, basically, how you treat others is how the Lord is going to how he's going to deal with you. In times that he was being merciful, he sees that the Lord was merciful back to him. And when he was upright, the Lord was back upright with him. And it goes on to say, verse 27, "With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the forward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory." And those who are not doing as they're supposed to do, the Lord is going to show a different response back to them. You see, they kind of get reciprocated back to them what they give. That should make us cause us pause and make us think about how we deal with people, how we work with people. You know, I'll get to this here a little bit in depth, a little bit more here in just a minute. But a lot about being a Christian, and again, this is the fruit that's manward. A lot of this is about being a mentor, mentoring others or helping others. And how much do you want to lead somebody to the Lord, or how much do you want to help somebody? When you think about patience, and you think about long-suffering, and you think about gentleness, that is marks of a very good teacher. A very good teacher, maybe a good pastor, a good father, a good mother, a good brother, sister. I think you're going to see the importance of these things as they come out. If you really want to lead somebody in the right path, it's going to take these things to do it. Sometimes working with family and different people and hard-headedness, stubbornness, it's not easy. Things just don't fall together, fall in place as fast as you want it to. Sometimes it truly is a lifelong endurance. But verse number 29, it says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord. The Lord will lighten my darkness. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him." He's talking from experience. It's one thing for us to read the Bible and claim a verse because somebody else experienced it and because it's written here. It's another thing to claim it after you've gone through it, after you've experienced it. It becomes your verse. It becomes your testimony. Part of his testimony here, if you drop down to verse 36, it says, "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation." Remember last week we talked about that also, the account in 2 Peter, to add it up is thy salvation. Talking about long suffering is thy salvation. You see how these things absolutely tie in together. "Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness has made me great." I think I liken this to here is after the discipline had come in, after maybe like a father would deal with the son, after the discipline had come in, there was a time of explanation. This is why. This is why we had to do it this way. Sin comes with a cost. Disobedience comes with a cost. And it comes with correction. And you see how the correction was given, but the Lord was still gentle in what he did with his son David. It's for a purpose. It's for correcting. It's for rearing. It's not just to push somebody away, to break somebody and leave somebody broken. It's to build them up. It's to help them. And I think that's important when we're looking at things as far as discipleship, as far as being in a church, of being a pastor, teachers, the relationship that we have with people is helping lead them in the right way. Another verse that comes to my mind is Proverbs 15:1. It talks about a soft answer turneth away wrath. It's easy. If you want to argue with somebody, we can argue with people. You can argue with them in public. You can argue with them online. You can argue with them anywhere you want to. But if you're really trying to help somebody and maybe turn a behavior, that's a different approach. I think that's what you're seeing here in the fruit. I hope you're seeing that's what I'm seeing. But let's go to 2 Timothy. And again, that was the first mention there in 2 Samuel. That was the first mention of gentleness in the Bible. And it was David, his prayer toward the Lord, how the Lord had dealt with him. But here we know in Timothy, the book of Timothy, this has a lot to do. It's kind of directed toward preachers, directed toward deacons, directed toward elders in the church. Again, I think you'll see kind of a common thing here in tonight's study anyway, that it's talking a lot about mentoring and a lot about teaching and helping and maybe leading others. But 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 24 through 26. Just three verses here that I thought was really good for us to look at. And it's talking about being a servant. Being a servant, you're coming from a different approach than being a leader, so to speak. Maybe you've heard about servant leadership, and I believe that's how Jesus led. He led by being a servant, but he showed people the example of what he expected others to do. From the washing of feet and the things that he did with his disciples to show the humility. He came from a place of being a servant, but the whole time he was absolutely leading them. We see this here also. It's talking about, again, about being a preacher, and kind of the way that it is here, it's talking about a few different things. It says the character of a soldier of Christ, he is strong, he's single-minded, he's strict, he's secure, sound of faith, he's sanctified. And this last one I want to read to you here tonight is, he is a servant. It's talking about coming from this perspective. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. And that means to contend with or fight with. Again, I'm telling you, Brother Allen, if you want to fight with somebody, it's easy to do. How you approach talking to someone and maybe trying to figure out where their knowledge base is, kind of where they're at, if they're asking questions and you really want to kind of help them. You don't say, hey, this is just how it is. You're just going to have to accept it or not. You're not going to win a lot of people to Christ with an attitude like that, with an approach like that, with being impatient. I think sometimes people think in preaching that you just flat out lay it out there like it is and let the chips fall where they fall. But if you care about somebody, it's a different approach. There's some humility that comes into it. There's some gentleness that should come into it. Again, it says here, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, must not contend and argue, fight with people, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and then there's that word again, patient. See how these things lay out. So when you're talking to someone and trying to help them, whether you're in a supervision role, what you try to do is tell somebody what's expected of them. And if they don't understand it verbally, then you show them. You lead by example. And I think that's what he's saying here in the Christian faith and how we're supposed to do things in discipleship is to show, and it says unto all men. I think that speaks to not being partial to some, impartial to others, but you're showing the same kind of impartiality across the board, and you're working with people, being gentle, coming across with a meek spirit. And again here, verse number 25 leads right into that. It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. I thought that was interesting how that reads. I think sometimes what we think is people are arguing with us and fighting with us, and maybe we think it's us against them, but I believe wholeheartedly people are internalizing things, trying to figure out things for themselves internally, and it's kind of them. And you've got to help them see what they need to see and to understand. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of truth. Again, it's not about being hard or heavy-handed toward people or what have you. It's that meekness, that humility, knowing that that's how God dealt with us. We received that from Him. Without His humility, where would we be? Without His mercy, without His grace. But those who oppose Himself, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that God will help them. It's easy to get frustrated with people. You pray for people and you hope that they can see things. But what I've learned, you have to preach it. For me, I have to preach it, but the Holy Spirit has to do the work. I tell you, in our families, in our workplace, if it be in school, wherever it be, the Holy Spirit is the one that has to do the work. It's important that we live it out like we're supposed to, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to do the work. We're not in the changing people business. We're in the teaching, preaching business. And the Lord and the Holy Spirit is the one that does the changing. And that's how it has to be, to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Again, talking about the fallen man and how until that condemnation, and this is the condemnation that people chose darkness rather than light because they tried to hide their deeds and wanting to do that. But the Lord will open their eyes and help them to see that. Then the Lord is the one who can bring them to be where they're supposed to be. One last place that I want to go tonight, I have at least one more, but I just want to go one other place quickly, and that's back to James chapter number 3. James chapter number 3, verse 17. And you look back when we were talking about peace a few weeks ago, this brings us right back to the same kind of topic here. And I think if you had a companion verse for my study, what I found for Galatians 5, I think James 3 would be a very good companion chapter to go along with that. It talks a lot about the same things here. And I'll begin reading here, James 3, verse 13. I'll read on down to verse 17. But it says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." And again, I think this speaks to what we were talking about there in 2 Samuel with David, the experience he had with God and the wisdom that he received from that. I think you'll see that this comes together. But if we have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Talking about the flesh, how the flesh definitely wants to respond. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. But verse 17, just want to look at it for just a minute. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. You have a pure intention of your heart. Then peaceable. It's not that you're trying to force somebody into seeing something a certain way. You're trying to help them. You're trying to show them. It's one thing to force somebody versus showing somebody. And you can see the light go off sometimes. You can see it. See the light goes off when somebody starts to understand, and that what a blessing that is. And again, with being gentle, with being meek, and easy to be entreated, easy to come to, easy to talk to, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There's no hidden agenda about it. It's just wanting to help people see the truth. But if you want to reach folks, and you really take that to heart, and it might be one of your children, it might be a family member, but it takes these fruit to do that. I'm telling you, if you try to hammer somebody, if you try to hammer the gospel into somebody, I think you're going to have a very, very hard time of leading them to the Lord, especially a family member. More than likely, I think you might even start pushing them away and be counterproductive. But I appreciate this study. I hope you're gaining some ground with it. It's been a lot, means a lot to me. But I'll stop there tonight. And what we'll do is we'll definitely have a time of prayer after our business meeting, but we'll get started with this tonight, and I think it'd be good to have a time of prayer. And what I'll do is I'll ask Brother Mike if he'd just pray for our conference tonight, and then we'll get started at our conference.